So today, we're diving into something really fascinating, Psalm chapter 2. And, I mean, when you look at it, it totally qualifies as a royal psalm. Just check out verse 6. I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. It's a powerful declaration, right?
Wow, that's kind of intense. So like, this whole idea of having a king set over Zion, that must have felt pretty significant back in the day, huh? I mean, like, were people scared or excited about that?
Absolutely. It stirred up quite the mix of feelings. The psalm itself really dives into the rebellion of nations and rulers against God's authority, emphasizing that no matter how hard they try, God ultimately reigns supreme. It's like a cosmic battle where God's sovereignty shines.
Oh, it's kind of like those epic fantasy movies, right? Like, you know, Lord of the Rings or something, where you have all these different kingdoms trying to overcome each other, but there's this overarching force, in this case, God. But like, does that mean this Messiah figure was expected to fight or lead in an army or what?
Great analogy. The Messiah is often seen as that anointed king, granted dominion over nations. But here's the twist. It's not about, say, leading armies into battle. It's more about establishing peace and divine order. It's like taking that throne and then saying, okay, let's bring everyone together under God's rule.
I see. So it's more like a spiritual kingdom rather than a military one. But then, what's the deal with the warning to earthly rulers? It sounds kind of like a, ominous vibe.
Exactly. It's a warning for earthly rulers to recognize and submit to God's authority and that of His anointed. If they defy it, they're stepping into a world of futility, a bit like trying to swim upstream in a river during a flood.
Oh, wow. That's a vivid picture. So they're basically being told, hey, you don't want to mess with this, right? But how does that fit in with the end of the psalm, where it says, blessed are all who take refuge in him?
Right. It's almost like a silver lining. The psalmist reassures that those who align themselves with God and his appointed king will find refuge and blessings. It's a call to see that loyalty brings about significant rewards. Imagine finding a safe haven during a storm, protected and cared for.
So it's not just a warning, it's also an invitation? I love that. It's like they get to choose the path they want to follow. But are there real-world examples where people face this kind of, like, authority dilemma?
Certainly. Look at leaders throughout history. Like, you have kings who tried to assert their power against even greater spiritual principles. Take the reign of King Herod, for instance. His attempts to maintain power while defying higher authority ultimately led to his demise. There's this broader theme where aligning with divine purpose seems to pave the way for, I don't know, enduring legacy rather than fleeting power.
Whoa, that's some heavy stuff. It really makes you think about, like, current leaders and their accountability too, right? Are they really serving the people or themselves? This is crazy how a psalm written ages ago can, like, resonate today so deeply.
Exactly. It's this timeless truth that God's sovereignty is still relevant. People find references in various contexts, reminding them of their own accountability. The royal nature of Psalm chapter 2 serves to anchor us in the understanding that there's a bigger plan at play, one that encompasses our lives as we navigate through, right?
Yeah. And I guess that means we are part of that bigger picture, huh? This is so enlightening. I'm definitely taking notes on this.